Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
1 in 8. That's how many people have worked at a McDonald's. Who'll serve millions the best Big Mac and best birthday party they've ever had? Who haven't just seen kids graduate from a Happy Meal, but have gotten help graduating themselves? Because they know the skills learned here.
Bienvenidos. Welcome to English Under the Arches.
Can help you grow from here or keep growing here.
Hi, welcome to
1 in 8 start at McDonald's. And where you start stays with you.
Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Alice. Can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Josh Widdicombe.
Can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
Good job, buddy.
Is that Catherine Ryan?
It's not. That is Ellis, age 2, introducing you from Columbia, South Carolina.
Columbia?
Not Columbia, Columbia. Columbia, a place in South Carolina. He'll be joined by a little sister in November, but we'll be dumping them both off at my parents in April to fly out to see you guys at the O2.
No way.
That is incredible.
That can't be the sole reason of the journey.
It can't be. If it is, cancel your plane tickets. It's not worth it.
No, it is worth it. You don't know how shit their life is normally. They sound pretty upbeat, so I think we've got a lot to beat because they sound like they've got a good life. I've just looked at Columbia in South Carolina. It looks great. There's sort of pretty buildings and palm trees, and it's not always the way.
Where is South Carolina?
I was going to go below North Carolina, but I couldn't bring myself to do it.
No, well, you kind of had your cake and ate it there, didn't you?
That's me. That's my old Bobby Beckles.
Oh, it's on the coast. Oh, it's right down the bottom.
It looks lovely. I imagine that the trip, they're over in Europe for something else as well.
Yeah. The show at the MEN.
Yeah. Did I tell you I went on a date with a man, sort of? It was weird.
No, I'd have remembered if that's a twist in the old tale.
Well, it wasn't a date. It was like... Basically, I don't know if I told you, there's that writer, Wright Thompson, that I really liked his book about American sports stars and stuff. And
right.
He's from Mississippi or somewhere like deep south of America.
Yeah.
Anyway, he messaged me saying, I'm in town. And I was in town. And I went and had 4 Guinnesses with him.
Oh, wow.
And it was just about, I was sat in a pub and I'd never met him before. It was just on Instagram and I was waiting for him to come in.
Oh, wow.
And then we just chatted for an hour and a half because we were both a bit late. About American sports and about Britain. And I gave him some scampi fries and some pork scratchings. And then we kissed. No, I didn't kiss. Anyway, he was saying that... I was talking about Florida and that I like Florida. And he was saying Florida's really sneaky. Florida stole loads of... Well, I don't know if they stole it, but if you look at a map of America, Florida is a little like the knob bit.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now.
Also, it cuts right across and nicks all the coast from Alabama.
Look at that.
And it's just a straight line.
Yeah, that is bad.
That's bad.
That is bad.
And he was saying all along that coast towards New Orleans is absolutely amazing. And it's not full of like British tourists going to Disney. It's sort of just if you went on a little road trip. But anyway, that's my story.
I've been to New
Orleans. Oh, how was that?
It was all right. Yeah, I liked it. It was, do you know what? It was the month before the hurricane hit New Orleans, I think.
Oh, really?
But it was very nice, yeah. Do you know what? I was in a hostel, because I was 22, and that's the kind of thing
you do.
Right,
mate. You don't have to be defensive about your success or lack of success.
No, but I didn't like hosteling, Rob. There's too many people that thought they were your friend because they were just in the hostel.
I hated it. I went in a hostel once, and it was me and my 4 mates, and then in the middle of the night, a man came in, and slept in one of the spare beds. And then when we woke up, he was still asleep. And he just had a tag on the end of his bed with O'Sullivan on it. And then we just left because we were scared.
Yeah, why were you left because you were scared?
Yeah, just because. And then even now, we just go to each other, O'Sullivan. And he's like our candy man, like probably just some tired bloke who wanted a kip.
My main memory of New Orleans was, A, there was an Irish guy who my friend saw wanking in the bottom bunk, a wank in his bed.
In New Orleans, of all places.
New Orleans. And then everyone was like, a lot of those people in those hostels think they're bloody Jack Kerouac. They think they're like something.
Jack Kerouac.
Anyway.
Just do more. Jack off Iraq.
No. That's more like it, isn't it? That's nice.
That's nice, isn't it?
That's the kind of thing people come for.
Yeah. They Jack Kerouac does in his little hostel bed.
Oh, yeah, really?
They come
nice.
For it. Yeah, too much.
Really
yeah,
nice.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, a guy came up to me.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, mate, I'm going on a night out and I haven't got any clean clothes. You're right if I borrow a T-shirt? I'm like, absolutely not.
What, is he much bigger than you?
No, I was just like, this is...
You've got shoulders, has he?
I've got shoulders, mate. Honestly, you should see my fucking shoulders.
I still... There's a photo of you topless.
Where?
Of you topless, I think, after last leg with Alex Brooker, and you're all wet and you're topless, and I can't find it anywhere, but I remember it, and it really made me laugh.
Why did it really make you laugh?
Well, I don't think you weren't in peak physical shape. I think it was a few years ago when you were boozing more.
Yeah,
you're lean. You're a lean, mean fighting machine.
Mate, you get the calipers out.
You just had strong ET vibes in the photo.
Right, okay,
and you've never looked like E.T. before
or
since.
Why are you looking at a photo of me wet and naked after the last leg? Was it on set or was it like we'd had a shower afterwards?
Well, I don't know what you and Alex are up to.
You know me, Adam and Alex will shower together afterwards like a football team.
Really? And do you use the big accessible shower for that?
Exactly. I get given those accessible showers. We've discussed this a lot in hotels.
Everyone thinks you're disabled.
They do.
There's nothing wrong with being disabled, but you don't want to have the room that someone else might need.
No, but, you know, occasionally, Rob, when I'm parking, I think I could get away with this. I don't. I'm joking. 100% would never do that.
You could get a blue badge for something. I reckon there's something wrong with you that's blue badge worthy.
What do you mean?
Well, just you're allergic to chlorine. There's some sort of... You could get on for that. Allergies. I don't know. I think if you went to the doctors with enough chutzpah, you could convince them to give you a blue badge.
Yeah, but before you know it, that's a Daily Mail article there.
I reckon you could just go in and sit down and go, right, blue badge, is it? And you just go, yeah, if you want. Then it's not your fault.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Anyway, what are we talking about?
How's your driving been this week, Rob?
My driving? Oh, my drive, mate. Actually, you know what? That little five-minute chat we've had about the south coast of America has probably been the most relaxing 5 minutes since I last spoke to you. It's been mental in our house. I am what I'd categorise as stressed.
Yeah.
Just from too much stuff going on.
Talk me through it.
Okay, so we got back from Greece on the Monday. I spoke to you at 6 o'clock until 7 o'clock. Then it was the hottest night ever, remember?
Yeah.
So my kids went to bed at 11 PM. The bedtimes at the moment are all over the place. 11 PM. Basically, our house gets so hot upstairs where it's actually like a furnace and it wasn't cool enough to sleep. So they went to bed about 11 PM. Everyone slept basically naked on top of the covers with fans directed at bumholes was essentially the way to cool down. So
lovely image.
If you walked into our house that night, it would look like the opening scene of The X-Files.
What's happening?
You know, but where there's always some sort of weird X-Files mystery.
I was like, I don't remember the titles to the X-Files.
No, not the titles,
like
but it'll be like a scene from the X-Files where someone goes up, or Stranger Things, where you walk in a room and it's just like a wind everywhere from the fans and just like bodies.
But
so that was Monday night. Then Tuesday, we was up at 6 because Lou had to go off and get her appendix taken out.
Oh, been there, done that.
So
it's not a laugh.
Poor Lou had her appendix taken out when it was 41 degrees.
Oh, my word.
So that happened. Then my parents came up to help me with the kids because I also had to record podcasts with you guys.
Yeah.
We had some podcasts doing, because we've had the break, I had to record them then. So my parents come up to look after the kids. It was 41 degrees, so it was quite brutal. So they come up and helped with that. But also, I had to go and pick up the cat.
Oh, God.
So I had to go, before my parents came, at 8 a.m, I took my kids to go and pick up a cat. I also panic bought an aircon unit for our bedroom, because Lou... It was day surgery, so she had to come. She came home on the Tuesday. She would have had to go back into hospital if she's laid in that room, because it sort of cools down at night. But in the day, yeah. The sun sets on the window of our bedroom, and it's just
close the curtains.
They're shut, and all the windows are shut. It's still too hot. Just trust me, it's too hot. Okay.
Is how mobile is Lou at the moment?
Well, she can't drive, she can't lift, and she can't really do anything with the kids. We're recording this Thursday, so. Yeah. I'm doing...
all the heavy lifting, quite literally.
Literally, yeah. So I had to go and get the cat, the aircon unit, came back, my parents come, I did the podcast record with you, then I had to go and get the dog from the dog hotel. That was 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the Tuesday. Well, it's basically kennels, but we say that to the kids so they don't get upset, but you can't take him grease. It's a dog hotel. It's a good one, actually. A pound. Just to that tree in the park I tied him to for a week. I didn't do that. Don't panic. Anyway, so I did that. That was Tuesday. Oh, yeah. Then yesterday, I've been having to take the dog for a walk at 6 a.m.
Because of the heat?
Because of the heat. And obviously, the kids are still sleeping. So I can get back in time to give the kids breakfast and look after the kids, because Lou's in pain.
Man alive. And your kids are on summer holidays now?
Yes, but they went into super camp today. Then one of the kids came out crying and all upset because... she wasn't in the same group as the older kid, but they can't be in the same group because they're different ages. And then I tried to take them back. I tried to take them in this morning, and then the younger one was getting a bit upset. And then they went, oh, don't worry. And then they said to my eldest daughter, oh, there's three girls that you know from your school that are in your class today. And then the younger one was all excited. And I was like, no, you're not in that class. I was like, oh, my God.
Oh, no.
So she's upset. And then they went, right, you're going to go swimming today. I didn't know it was swimming. They've got no swimming stuff.
Oh, God.
So they're not going swimming, but they had a week of swimming last week, but they can go in the bouncy castle or whatever it is. So they're in there.
I think this is a racket, Rob. The school that my daughter's going to go to in September.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, and, you know, there's after school clubs that you can do, you know, you can pay for, or you can do during the holidays.
Yeah.
Basically, the holidays are a way for them for 6 weeks to suddenly just charge you for a shitter version of school.
And then also, because you can't take... if you're working, most people get 4 weeks holiday a year, don't they?
You can't take 6 weeks holiday.
No, but then also as well, you've got to get the 2 week... I think you're in for a culture shock, Josh.
Yeah, no, I'm fully aware I'm in for
a
culture shock.
You've got your school... your kids are in school, but she was in nursery 9 till 6 every day, including... half terms and summer holidays and Easter. So what are you going to do?
Well, I don't know, Rob. But do you know what I have done?
Because she's in school. She's in nursery all summer, isn't she? And you're taking her out the week before.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no,
It's the hour before, Rob. She's doing nursery up until 9 a.m. on the...
It's actually an afternoon. It's just one afternoon start at school. So she'll do the morning in nursery. Then I'll ferry her across town in a taxi.
Yeah. She can make her own way. But I tell you what I have done. I've marked the holidays in my diary. That's what I've done.
Yeah, that's key. That's key. And then you can try.
But I don't know what that's achieved, but there are in there.
You just know when it's going to be harder now. So now what you need is an action plan.
So do you... How do you approach this holidays situation?
Well, it's totally different for what your job is. So there's a lot of people at a kid's school that has that they put them into camp. So they'll have like they'll save up their holiday for a summer holiday and go away for a week or 2 weeks, and then that's covered because they're on holiday with you and you're off. And then there's a combination of childcare from like family, and then some people send them, so they might get their nan and granddad to come up to have them for a few days here and there. Or one parent takes time off and the other one doesn't.
Yeah.
So they take a week off, or they go into like camps and stuff like that. So it is...
people do it. You've got proper jobs.
Well, like, yeah, if you're both full time. So the way I do it is I try to have school holidays off, and then I work sometimes 6 or 7 days a week. Not all the time, but I work non-stop when they're in school.
Yeah.
And Lou does the pickups and drops offs so that when they're off, I'm off. But I can do that because I'm self-employed. And luckily, comedy wise, especially in the summer, does stop. You don't, you, no one's doing tour shows.
No one's laughing in August.
Well, everyone's on holiday, so you don't sell tickets in August. You don't really sell them over Christmas because of pantos. So it actually works quite well for a comedian. So you're actually in quite a good position, Josh.
It's quite weird, isn't it? Because when I was a kid, I didn't even think about it, that it must be an administrative nightmare that suddenly you're at home.
Well, it's weird because I think Lou was more aware of that because her dad did 9-to-5s and stuff, where my dad always worked afternoons and evenings, and my mum worked like part-time, but then mainly was at home with us. So they could you could shift and be a bit more flexible and stuff, but... Yeah, anyway, it is brutal. But if anyone's got any tips of what to do in the summer or ideas of how to sort out childcare, let us know. But I think it's basically whatever you can find, friends, family, camps, things like that. But so that's what we weren't planning on, put them in the camps, because Lou would normally be at home, but she can't really look after the kids.
Of course,
But the other two issues I've had this week is now the dogs started coughing. So I've had to book a vet appointment.
Oh, no.
So I've got a vet appointment at 4:45 today, and me and you are supposed to be going for a meeting, well, a publisher, I don't even know what it is, a publisher's dinner about the book at 7.
Yeah.
So I might be late in a pair of shorts. No, I won't bring the dog. I can't have him coughing everywhere.
So the dog's got a cough?
Yeah, I know. But also, I was like, I've got a cough. I'll just get on with it, mate. But I think with dogs, you have to be a bit more... There might be something else going on. But I don't know. I think it could be fine, but I've got to get him checked.
Yeah.
So he's coughing, and then...
Have you got... I've got to ask. Have you got pet insurance?
Yes, I have. I've got pet insurance.
Oh, knock yourself out, mate. Fill your boots.
That Lou's still not ever claimed on. Let's not get bogged down by that. So we had to take the dog... to the vets pretty recently to get some antibiotics. Never been claimed back on. But that's something that Lou's decided on. I'm not going to let that... I'm not going to bring that up now because she's bloated.
She's ill in bed.
Surgery gas, and she's got a bruised belly. Poor thing. She looks really uncomfortable. I feel so sorry for it. It's so difficult when you're run ragged and like a blue-ass fly... Yeah. And your partner's unwell, and it's not their fault. When they're hungover, I quite like that, because you can go, you deal with them, you cause this. But when someone's had their appendix taken out, it's just like, and she's like, Rob, do you mind getting me a drink? And she's not demanding at all, but she can't get up loads. She's got to start moving a bit more, but she can't like lift things and move stuff. She can't get the kids out of the butt, all those sort of things. So it's me constantly doing it, but you just want to just go, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do all of this. But I have to, because I love you and it's fair. And when I had a bad ankle, you helped me. Apart from after a week, Lou said to me, you need to get better or die.
And you did, to be fair.
But I'm not going to say that to Lou, because she's getting better.
Yeah, of course.
She'll be fine. But it's just a bit stressful.
When I had my appendix out, I was not doing much for a good week. It was a good old week.
A whole week?
I just remember... Because it's very tender.
Yeah, of course. You've had like an organ removed from your body.
Yeah, exactly.
Under anaesthetic.
Even though it feels like the... Maybe like... It's the beginner's operation, isn't it?
Like, it's like weed before crack.
Yeah, exactly. It's not... it feels like this isn't a proper one. This is like a kind of warm-up op.
Yeah.
But actually, that means you don't take it seriously enough.
Yes.
And then you get home, you're like, fuck it now. Someone's been chopping in my body.
Someone's chopped me body up.
Yeah, and it really hurts.
I think it's because it happens a lot. You just get used to it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did I tell you, when I went in, they gave me the morphine and then I couldn't sleep because of the morphine. And I went to the woman, I was like, I can't sleep because I've had too much morphine. And she said, no, I think it's the sugary tea we gave you. I was like, I've not been kept on my fucking sugary tea, mate.
Oh, that, I think that does happen. You get to an age where if you have like 2 spoonfuls of sugar, you're up for a week.
But I'm not at that age.
You're not far off, are you?
I was about 36.
Are you hungover as well? Your voice sounds cool.
Yeah, I'm a bit hungover, yeah. I was at League of Their Own last night.
Oh,
it was their rap party. Oh. And I thought, you know, it's been a long old series, so we need to cut loose.
How many episodes were you on?
One. Last night.
So you got there about six, did the show, and then you had a wrap party celebrating the end of the 8-part series.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Yeah.
I was meant to.
Did you make a speech?
No, Romesh did.
Did he?
Yeah.
What did he say?
Just how much he values all the team.
And just how thankful he is that James Corden's career's rocketing.
Yeah, he's now got my feet under the table.
Yeah. Just want to thank James Corden for making the Late Show a success. And all the guys over there stateside. Did you read some of your books to anyone? You like doing that, don't you, when you're drunk telly shows?
No. I didn't, no. Okay, I talked to Joe Brand about comedians in the 90s.
Was Joe Brand on the show?
Yeah. No, she just came to the rap party. No, I phoned her up. It was quite weird. I just stood in the corner and phoned her up.
Do you know who needs to hear about this? Joe Brand.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. who else was on that episode?
Declan Rice was quite exciting.
Oh, yeah. He's a nice bloke, isn't he, Declan Rice?
Oh, lovely. Lovely bloke. Yeah, really nice.
I met him at Reading.
At Reading? Yeah, what, Reading Festival?
Yeah, he was watching Liam Gallagher.
Oh, wow.
I was so drunk, though. I was really obnoxious.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, I started bullying Tom Grennan.
Oh, well, he's very good at football, Tom Grennan. I don't know who he is, but he was very good
in soccer. He's a singer. Yeah. Anyway, I think we're going off a piece. Yeah, but it was good, though, was it? How much do you have to drink to get drunk at this stage of busyness? Because you're quite tired.
Oh, I'd had a terrible night's sleep as well the night before. I'd had about 3 hours sleep because it was fucking boiling.
Yeah.
And then, get this. This was annoying. I finally got to sleep about 2. And then at 4, I got woken up because we'd left the windows open. The doors were banging in the house.
Oh, you know, no.
And I couldn't identify which door it was. And I must have left the bedroom 3 times to close a different door to try and track it down. I was like, I've closed all the doors in the house, but there's still a door banging. It was like
the Crystal Maze.
Yeah, I couldn't get to the bottom of the banging door.
Did you ever get to the bottom of the banging door?
Well, Rose thinks it was the landing toilet. But she came to that conclusion.
A landing toilet? Is that what you call the toilet you have a shit in?
Yeah.
The landing toilet. This is what I've talked about toilet. Something awful happened to me, Josh. I trod barefoot in dog shit.
Oh, my gosh. I just walk into the sea and I'd never come back at that point.
I think I'm tempted to cut my foot off and replace you on the last leg.
What happened?
Well, I thought I'd cleared it all up, and then the kids were playing, and then I was walking along on the grass barefoot, and I just, as soon as I put my foot down, I knew.
Oh, no.
And I just didn't want to look, so I just stood there, and then in the end, I slowly lifted my left foot up, and it was just dog shit all over my foot.
Oh, my God.
And I just shut my eyes, and I still had my foot up. I didn't want to put it down again in case I squashed it in more. And I just wasn't willing to accept this was my life. And the kids were screaming for something, and I just stood there. And I reckon I stood there to 10 to 15 seconds just processing. Because I was in denial at first. I was like, a bit of mud.
Oh, God.
But I knew it wasn't mud.
And is it, in a way, better that it's the foot than the shoe? Because you're never getting it off the shoe. But you can clean it off the foot. Do you know what I mean?
It was better that it was the foot. And also, it was good it wasn't anywhere near the toes. It was pure arch.
Oh, pure arch.
But
okay,
it was...
Yeah.
I haven't got high arches anyway, so it was definitely made an impression.
I've got very high arches.
But you'd have been fine, mate. You might have cleared it like a bridge. But I stood there, and I was like... I just thought, do you know what, Rob? The worst thing you can do in this situation is rush.
Yeah. So did you have to hop to the bath?
That's what I was going to do. But I was like, no, what? And then I think it's quite a good life lesson, this.
You just let it dry and got on with your day.
Just accept you will be covered in shit. Don't even try and clean yourself. No, because my initial thought was get in the bath. And I was like, I went to move. I was like, no, just my new thing now is, Josh, stop going with the first thing my brain says.
Yeah.
And just sit with it and then decide. In all walks of life, if the girls ask for something or lose, I used to be so like, just do that. And I answer so quickly to get things done. But I've recently been going, no, take a second, right? What are we going to do here? And then I remembered that I've got an outside tap that's over soil.
Oh, yeah.
There's an outside tap and there's a little flower bed next to it. It's the one we walk the plants with. And I went, well, if I just hop there, I can just put my foot, I won't even need to, I can just keep my foot up like this. I'm not going to tread it on the grass or tread it on the patio. And I just then just turn the hose on. The problem was I turned it on too hard.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You fired it all over the garden.
Oh, no, I fired it all up my leg.
Oh, no.
Onto my shorts.
Oh, oh, my God.
Okay, so now...
Oh, my God.
Things have escalated.
Yeah.
I was so excited about my decision.
Your actual thinking things through has backfired massively.
Yes, because I should have thought it through. The initial thought was great, but when I got to the tap, I should have thought again.
Yes.
How am I going to do this? This is me growing up, Josh, right? And I'm learning every day. But then, so what I did was I turned down the power, got it all off my, because it was only up my leg, got it, and a bit of my shorts, got it off my leg, got it off my foot, and then I took my shorts off and put them immediately in the bin.
Yeah, that's the right thing to do.
They were just cheap ASOS shorts, so I'd done that. Yeah. So that's, and then I'd cleaned it all off and I'd really got it wet, and then I went up into the shower and rubbed it with soap so hard, it is now a bit red.
What, when you say it, do you mean your foot?
Yeah, I didn't get clean and go for a wank in the shower with soap. Save that for hostels in New Orleans. O'Sullivan myself off. So that happened, which was awful.
Man,
and then the other thing I had to do
so
yesterday.
What were children doing during this period?
Obliviously, just running around laughing and shouting. Yeah.
And you had to presumably go down and clean up the dog shit as well.
Yeah, I had to go back and try and pick up dog shit that I'd smeared into the ground with my own feet.
Oh, God.
So, that wasn't great. And then the other thing I had to do yesterday, Josh, was a speed awareness course.
Oh, naughty boy.
So I had 3 hours on that, on Zoom.
I've never done one of them because I don't break the rules.
Right, I did 26 miles an hour in a 20 and I didn't know it was a 20.
Oh.
Cut me some slack, Josh. In an electric car trying to save the planet and they're speedy off the lights. It's odd.
I don't even remember 20s existing when I was a kid.
Well, exactly. So this is, Josh, this is what happened, right? I thought, Joe, what? Fair enough. You've done the crime. Do the time. Right, whatever. I'll go for my little speed awareness.
Was it a Zoom one or was it?
Zoom one, yeah. So I went for the...
Zooming was your problem though, wasn't it, Rob?
Here he goes.
It was actually
on Teams, but it doesn't work for the joke.
Do you think it was on Teams because they were too worried about those jokes?
Potentially. At one point, someone said, we're talking about going on a motorbike and, you know, how do you filter? And said, does anyone ride a motorbike? Because, you know, you have to keep an eye out for them. And then someone went, yeah, I do. And then he went, so what are motorists doing as you are trying to filter in? He went, I don't know, I'm normally gone by then. And then he went, oh, I'm really sorry, I forgot what I was doing. But this is what annoyed me about the course, right, Josh? Yeah.
So talk me through it. How did it work?
Well,
how could they tell that you weren't just like, you know, reading BBC transfer gossip?
Because you have to get engaged, and so at one point they talk you through the highway code and show you pictures of roads and say what speed you think it is. And I thought, Joe, I'm going in with this an open mind because when I passed my test, 20s didn't really exist, 20 mile an hour speed limits. Because I know when it's 30, there's like the traffic lights are close together, aren't they? And when it's on a country road with the white and black sign going through it diagonally,
that's the traffic light thing.
Well, if there's traffic lights, like lots of street lights near each other, is 30.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Normally. And then if you're on a country lane and it's got that white circle with the black diagonal line across, that's national speed limit, which is 60. Dual carriageways, 50 or 70, depending on if it's a motorway.
National speed limit 70?
No, 60. But motorway speed limit 70.
Oh, God.
So all these things you didn't really know. And I thought, you know what, that's great, because I know most of these, but it's good to be refreshed. But also, I don't know when it's a 20. Because I wasn't speeding on purpose. I thought it was 30 because it was just a road in South East London.
It must be quite nostalgic learning about all this because it must take you back to when you were because you presumably did the theory tests and stuff.
Well, do you know what I learned most was how little old people know how to work Teams and Zoom. I must have watched a lady trying to, an older lady.
What oldies are speeding?
Right, little nippy little 60-year-olds. Oh, that basically, we worked out everyone on the call was doing about 25 and a 20.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
Okay, right. So
Anyone go, you Rob Beckett?
No. Okay. A couple of people logged on, though, like with miserable sort of naughty kid faces and sort of go, huh? And then I had to put in a couple. I did a couple of jokes. Couldn't help myself, John.
Did you? Did you do some stand-up?
Yeah, a little bit. There was one bit. They've got a photo of a motorway, and I go, "What?" They said, "What's the hazard here?" I went, "Is it the person that stood in the middle of the motorway to take this photo?"
Oh, lovely bit.
Lovely
of
stuff.
This.
There was one of a roundabout, and an old woman, an old, and it was like which lane she's to be in. There's a little old lady, all sort of hunched over, and really old. Looked about 90, right? 95. Trying to get across, and she went, "So what are you worried about here?" I went, "That old lady crossing the road." Got a little laugh, didn't it?
Oh, nice.
Solid
nice,
stuff.
Really nice.
But then I thought, you know what, Rob, this is actually slowing up the process.
How many of you were there in there?
About 10. So I was like, this is good though, because I can, if I find out how to know it's a 20, then I won't get caught again, and I don't want to be caught, and I don't want to over speed the limit, so it's great. Anyway, so we're going through, this is a 30, this is a 40, this is a 50, and she, I went, oh, so how do we know if it's a 20? She went, oh, there'll be signs every 15 seconds. It's called repeaters, and they have them on 40 mile an hour roads when it looks like it could be a 50 or 60. Just to, I went, oh, okay. So there wasn't repeaters on the road I was on. She went, oh, where was you driving? She was like, I was like, London. And she was like, oh, well, yeah, in London, there's like about 20 different ways you can tell if something's a 20 mile an hour or not, but there's no hard and fast law or rule. I was like, oh, okay. So you're trying to tell me there's not really a way to know? Like, what can I look for? She went, well, the only way really is that if you look to your left and right down side roads, and if it says 20, then go 20. I was like, sorry, so what? Your advice to find out the speed limit is to take my eyes off the road and look to my left and right to see if it's 20. Right? Okay, so basically, I couldn't, there's no way to learn when it's a 20. It's basically, yeah. Basically go 20 in London. If you don't want to get, and she was like, but if you know where, you know, each
did you
each
log
bar
off at that point.
No, but then she went,
you should have gone up. I shouldn't be here and just logged straight off.
And then she was like, I was like, well, okay. When you know, he went, but also find out what borough you're driving in, and most boroughs have rules on in London neighbours. I went, yeah, but the problem is in London I can do three boroughs in like one trip. And she sort of was just like, well, yeah, just look to your left and right. At one point we had to draw a picture. They said, when you're driving and stressed,
yeah,
what draw a picture of how you feel.
What?
Okay. So I was like, what? So anyway, I just did a smiley face with two eyes and then just a straight line across, a bit like just a straight line. So I wasn't smiling or unhappy. For the mouth, just a line across, yeah.
Do they tell you you need drawing implements before the...
Well, pen and paper, yeah, but, you know. I don't want to show off, but I've got that to hand.
Yeah.
And I showed it, and she was like, oh, what, I can't really see what that is, Rob. What's that? Is that sad or confused? And I said, I mean, to be honest, with my emotions, I don't know either.
And what did she say?
Okay, right. I don't think she... I mean, I wasn't really delivering it very well, but also I can't draw. I don't know what I'm like. When
did anyone do any good drawings?
No, I wasn't looking at drawings. I was watching the videos and listening to the content, Josh, of right. This very informative. It was good though, because there were stuff you don't realise how fast you're going and stopping speeds and all that. But I went in it thinking, what will I learn to stop me drive to make me drive safer? Like, you know, because I want to drive safer. The only thing I learned was, here we go, this is what I learned. The only thing I learned I didn't know, because they couldn't tell me about 20s because there's no real rule. The thing I didn't know, you know, outside schools, the triangle with the parent and the kid walking.
Yeah.
And underneath it says, when this flashes, it's 20 miles an hour.
Right.
That's not a law.
That's not a law.
That's just advice.
What, the schools have just gone off?
No. The council's done it, but it's only law if it's in a red circle.
Oh,
wow. So if it says 20 in a red circle, if you go over 20, it's speeding.
Yeah.
Because it's just in a black sort of rectangle and it says 20 when it's flashing, that means it's advice. So what I've learned is I can go faster past schools.
That is good.
So but I went on a speed awareness course, and the only thing I was made aware of, I can go faster past schools by law. Talking about that schools, my dad was in traffic, right? My dad's 78, was in traffic by a school, and there was kids playing, and the kid was looking at my dad like through the fence, and my dad sort of waved like to say hello, and then the kid went and got a teacher and pointed at my dad.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Absolutely non-spotted.
Oh my god!
It's good, good though. Good, well done, school. Well done, kid. Because it could have been a wrong one, but he might not have been. Anyway, so that's sort of been my week. So we're getting there, though. We're slowly getting there.
How are the kids? Did your daughter go to school in September?
Yeah, she starts in September. But I was a bit, she was a bit upset when she came out of the super camp thing because she wasn't with her sister all day. And I was a bit up because I was working. My mum and dad had to get her, but she wanted me and Lou, but then Lou couldn't go and then I was working. So I when I dropped her off this morning, again, she couldn't go in with her sister. I was a bit like, and I said, oh, can she just go in a sister's group? And they was like, oh, no, it's Ofsted inspected, so they can't be in the wrong academic year. And I was a bit stressed this morning. I went, look, I'm not looking for an exam grade. Look, it's just I'm more interested in the pastoral care, which sounded like such a wankery thing to say.
Yeah, not, but not I'm like, to get that phrase, though, when you reach
well, yeah, I'm more aware. I'm just like, look, this kid is in here for 3 days. Let her hang around with her fucking sister. Yeah. She's not 17 and you're going to go BMXing. She's like 2 years younger, about the same height. Let her go in. She's all right. She'll cope.
She's probably faster than all the kids.
Yeah, she is. Oh, what are you doing today? Athletics? Send her in. Send her in. anyway, so... But I do think as well that she was finding it difficult in that new... It's a new... hierarchy of there's loads of other kids there she doesn't know, and at her old nursery that she's left now to go to primary school, she was ruling the roost a bit because she was the oldest.
Yeah.
So she's gone from ruling the roost, being the oldest, to being a group of kids her age and older, and then her sister's in another class with all her mates. So I was a bit stressed dropping her in, so I'm quite anxious to see her later. I'm sure she'll be fine, but it's horrible when your kid doesn't want to go somewhere and comes out upset. And but this morning she was like, yeah, I want to go. So I'm trying not to read into it too much, but because I'm a bit anxious and stressed at the moment, my anxiety will latch onto that, even though it's not really coming from the kid anymore. My brain will go, oh, I bet your daughter doesn't feel all right now, and you're like, oh, fuck you, I don't need this in my... And actually there's no need for that thought because I'm powerless at the moment. They've got our numbers. If she's upset, they'd call. So I just have to just ignore that until I pick her up and then find out how it went. You know what I mean? But it's hard to balance that when your head's spinning about five different other things and the dog keeps coughing and you're stepping in dog shit. But apart from that, I'm having a great summer holiday.
That's good. I'm glad you're having a nice time.
I feel very different to how I did on the beach in Greece.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? We're getting back from holiday.
If you could bottle rest and then drink it a week later.
Yeah.
But you can't do that.
No.
Can you?
No.
Anyway, so sorry, I feel like I've been moaning a lot in this episode.
No, not at all. That's what this podcast is, Rob.
Oh, God.
If you're going to apologise for moaning, we need to apologise for the last 3 years.
I apologise for the last 3 years for the moaning. what have you been up to? Sorry, I've just spoke at you for two episodes now.
Much.
Any news?
We've got a paddling pool. Oh, we've got a situation, Rob.
Your garden's too small.
Yeah, the paddling pool's the size of the garden. And get this, because last year when we left the paddling pool out overnight, so we've got a big paddling pool.
Yep.
Basically, my daughter went to her friend's house, they had the paddling pool, we needed a new paddling pool, and she wanted that one. So we've got this big paddling pool.
You're right.
It's like two chambers with a bridge in the middle and a rainbow over the top of it.
Have you got a picture of it?
I wonder if I could actually take the picture from up here.
From your window? Because I can't get my head around...
Let me find it. This is the problem. Last year, we left our paddling pool out overnight and it got savaged by the foxes night one. So, we're having to bring our paddling pool in every night and put it in the fucking kitchen.
I've got a really good recommendation.
Is it like a fox spray?
Right, no. So, we bought a big paddling pool, right?
Yeah.
So, I've got a slide on it and we thought, you know what, if I get that, it's quite expensive. It was like 300 quid, right? But I thought, the summer's going to be long and hot. If they play in that, like, you know, like 20 times, and they've done that in the first two weeks. I could spend, you can spend 150 quid taking the kids out for the day to go into a theme park or something. So if I've got that for the summer, then we can invite people over, have barbecues, and they've got this fun thing. And if you get new kids to come, they'll love. So I've got them that, and they'd have played with it. But then I got them a little, when I was buying that, a little 20 quid thing that they're obsessed with, and it's the only thing they go on now. So
really?
I'm going to recommend that. I'll find it for you. It's basically like a flat bit of like paddling pool. And then round the edge, you plug the hose in and it fills up round the edge full of water. And it's got holes in and then it spurts out like a spray. And the middle bit fills up slowly and it's very shallow. So it's not dangerous. And then they're doing knee slides on it, running around in it, jumping in it. And they absolutely love it. This might be better for you.
Well, but would a fox not savage it?
It can't really... Because there's nothing that's really inflated
right
to savage. And if they bit the edge, it'd just make the hole slightly bigger for the sprinkler to come out.
Right.
So there's not much they can really do. This is it. Oh, was it 40? I got it for 20. Oh, it's 40 here. Here we go. But it's really good. Got it in Costco, and it's called H2O Go with an exclamation mark. It's very big, though. It says 11 foot. It can't be 11 foot.
My garden's 11 foot.
Well, you've got a nice, slippy new garden. But in zone 5, you can squeeze this in, mate. You're living in zone 1. It's, you know, it's a mad decision.
Yeah. It is.
She'll love this.
Also, our kitchen every night now has a fucking huge inflated paddling pool stood up on its side in the middle of the kitchen.
Try this, Josh. I've just sent it to you.
I've Googled it. H2O Go.
Oh, yeah. You found it, yeah?
Yeah. But do you know the problem with it, Rob?
What's that?
Is she's already got a paddling pool, and you're never going to convince her to give up the paddling pool. It's over.
If you Google it, it's that one on Costco, this 11-foot sprinkler pad. H2 Go sprinkler pad. They absolutely love it.
Yeah.
That can't be savaged by a fox, really.
I wish you told me this.
You're going to need a little adapter, though, because that'll get you. You need to get the right adapter for it. But so are you going to get one of them, or are you going
to
keep
I'm not going to be able to talk her out of the bloody paddling pool, mate. She loves it. It's all she gets up for in the morning.
So you have to empty it every night and then drag it in?
No, don't empty the water. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but no, you keep the air in.
Yeah, keep the air in. And then I stand it up in the kitchen, and then you can't get past it. And then you wake up in the morning, you go down, and basically your kitchen's got a huge inflatable in the middle of it, and you have to kind of try and push it out of the kitchen on your own. It's a nightmare, Rob. It's an absolute nightmare.
Oh my God, Josh, have you seen that email about the people we're going for dinner with tonight?
I'm just looking at it now. 1, 2, 3, 4. There's a lot of them.
There's 25 people.
Well, that's good, Rob. Do you think they'll let us sit together?
Oh, we're going to be at one end each, like...
What, like Henry VIII?
One of his wives, whoever it was that week.
There we go. I'm going to sit with the guy from Waterstones and tell him that I used to work in Waterstones. I reckon I've got at least 20 minutes of chat there.
So this is basically, for the people who are wondering what we're talking about, you go for dinner. When you have a book out, you go for dinner with like all the different people that buy books.
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it? And you just chat to them and then
I
think they decide if they buy your book or not.
not like people, not like the public.
No, but like Tesco or
Tesco, WH Smith, Amazon, Audible, Waterstones. W.H. Smith again. W.H. Smith again. They've got free tickets.
Tickets!
Anyway. There we go.
So what? Is this for us to sort of like schmooze them and impress them? Are we allowed to talk about this? Is this like Boris Johnson meeting Lebedev? I don't really know what you're allowed to talk about anymore.
I'm sure you're allowed to go for dinner with a man from Waterstones. You don't have to declare that.
Yeah, we're pressed on it next time we're on Jonathan Ross or Graham Norton. I put it to you.
You're promoting this book, but I've got it on good authority that you met the head buyer from WH Smith's Travel.
Travel.
One of the person's roles is head of books. That isn't it.
What's he do? Read them. Sorry, I just didn't think there'd be that many people. I've asked if I can wear shorts. Where are we going?
I don't know, but I had to do that thing where, you know when you have to order your meal a week in advance?
Yeah, well, I didn't realise there was about 300 people coming.
Yeah, now I understand why. There's nothing worse, is there, than ordering your meal in? Well, there is a lot worse.
What have you ordered?
I don't know. I didn't have any options. There was only one veggie option.
All right. Heirloom tomatoes, I think I remember you having.
Yeah.
And strawberry for dessert. You
Why did I copy you in on my reply? And more to the point, why did you read and remember it?
Oh, you've got consume, Parmigiana and strawberry you've gone for.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
I've got halibut. Don't even want halibut. I fancied fish a week ago when I was in Greece
That's
when I replied
problem,
to that email.
Isn't it? What am I going to fancy in a week's time?
And also, whenever you get there, there's always a new person that's been invited to a dinner. Yeah. Well, we had to do my mum's birthday meal. There was like 10 of us going, and then we all had to order in advance. It was really nice, actually. St Mildred's Bay down in Westgate. I'd recommend it. I think that's what it's called. Anyway, it's the fish restaurant there. I ordered mine about a week before, which is fine. I still fancied it when I got there. And then my brother's girlfriend came, and She just ordered scampi and chips on the flyer. I was like, who's this mover and shaker?
It's so disappointing. You never, ever go, I made the right decision a week ago.
Look, at the moment, it's 12.50 today. I don't know in 7 hours' time if I want to eat halibut.
No, it's 12.50. I don't even know what I want for lunch.
Well, what are you going to have?
I don't know. I might have a... Do you know, did I tell you I bought some cuppa soup?
Yeah. You really have got nothing to talk about, have you?
No. Have I done that twice on the show? What's going on in my life?
Big news. Josh has had a cuppa soup. Tune in next week to see what else he's had. Right, should we do some Instagrams?
Yeah,
and then
why
a small
not?
Business show.
I think the cuppa soup has really led us to it.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, God, there's someone at the door now. Remember that episode when I thought I was getting taken somewhere? That was funny, wasn't it?
What?
Well, no, when we was having a nightmare with your internet and all stuff like that, and you was waking up the baby, and then my front door went. Anyway. Oh, God. Right, let's do some Instagrams.
Can Lulu answer the door, or is she...
Well, hopefully they can just leave it at the front door. Because,
yeah.
I mean, this doesn't need to be... What's Lou doing? Let's see what she's up to. I think she's just left it at the front door.
What is it?
It's just a box. Oh, yeah, she's up for the box. Don't worry about that. She should be picking that box up like that, Lou. Oh, hello. I've just seen her on the little ring doorbell. She picked that up. I'll tell you what, she moves quicker on her own than she does in person. She was down like a fucking shit off a shovel, she was. Shit off a shit off a hill.
Yeah, you want to be careful of that shit off the shovel, Rob.
Right, okay. Here we go. Potty training nightmare. Hi, Rob and Josh. This is from Claire. Loving the podcast. I only started listening this year when I returned to work after my maternity leave in April. But this podcast made me feel so much better about my life. I only wish I'd found it sooner. Oh, thanks, Claire. I think that is key. Whatever you think you are as a parent, you're not as bad as you think. Some of you are, but most of you aren't.
That's our mantra, really, isn't it?
Some of you are, but most of you aren't. That's my...
Yeah,
that's
yeah, we can't say all of you are good parents.
No, some of you, yeah.
Some of you might, you know...
You've got to pull yourself together, but in the main, we're all good guys.
There'll be people listening to this who really the authority should get involved.
Yeah. I have two daughters, 2.5 years old and 1 year old, 15 months between them, blimey. We started to potty train the eldest in late April. She picked it up well, and being very independent, she was soon using the potty and emptying, cleaning it out afterwards without our help. Great. Until one day, I walked into the bathroom to find her washing the potty out after a big poo, using mine and my husband's toothbrushes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
To scrub it clean.
Oh, my God.
All I can say is I hope this was the first time, but I cannot be sure.
Oh, my God.
Claire. Poor Claire.
That is absolutely...
It's horrible, isn't it?
Harrowing.
God. You know, there's no way... But then if she's washed it with enough water, maybe you wouldn't... You might just think, oh, that toothpaste is a bit off.
I wouldn't recognise the taste. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't go, is that the taste of shit?
I think I would.
Well, you would after this week, yeah.
No, but I don't know what... It's weird, isn't it? I've never eaten...
I just don't think...
This is a disgusting episode. I've never eaten it, but I think I'd know I was eating it.
Well, you ordered it tonight. I saw it.
I fancied it last week. Do you know what I mean? Oh, God.
Do you want a boomer?
Oh, you got a boomer for me?
Yeah, I'll give you a boomer.
Let's
My
go.
Mother-in-law freezes bread.
Oh,
that's
good
not
idea.
The end of it. Imagine if that was the end of it.
Good woman.
Do you freeze bread?
Yeah, I do, actually. I always forget to do it, but if there's space in the freezer, it's good to have.
Yeah,
because
it's good to have,
you just whip it out the night before for the kids for sandwiches.
Well, when my husband was a child, she would get two slices of frozen bread out, butter it, put cheese in it. I don't know why I said butter it.
Butter it, baby. Butter wants a widge.
She would get two slices of frozen bread out, butter it, put cheese in it. She would then put it in his lunchbox and hope that it was defrosted in time for lunch.
No, you've got to do it the night before.
That is not on.
But then will it go stale if you just left it out overnight?
What were did you have lunchboxes, Rob?
I just used to carry it until lunch. No, I had a bit of a mixture of school dinners. But all I remember really eating at school was like cheese toasties. It was the only thing we got fed. Just constant cheese toasties. And then sometimes it was packed lunch. I got 100 quid on a frutini. You know frutinis?
What were they? Were they like...
Tin fruits, but like individual portions.
I'm Googling it. Oh, yeah. Did I tell you I had a cup of soup the other day?
Come on. It was a frutini, and it was like, and I ripped it open. It said, "Congratulations, you won 100 quid.
What? And you were in school?
Oh yeah, I was like, woo, like
oh
a hero.
Oh my god!
Because people kept on pranking other people. You know, remember when those Smith crisps had the salt in that you put on yourself?
Yeah.
So Walkers were doing a thing where if you had a little blue sachet, you won money. So people were putting the salt in the bags when people weren't looking. So when I won 100 quid, everyone thought I was lying. But I won 100 quid on frutini, and my mum spent it on tracksuits for me and my brothers.
Oh, you had to split it?
Yeah, brutal, wasn't it?
That is grim. That is...
absolutely brutal.
We had that. We won the half-time 50-50 at Plymouth Argyle, 565 quid.
Oh!
Yeah, but we had to split it.
How many ways?
Half brothers and half sisters. I ended up with 70 quid.
That's a tough split.
And
it was your ticket?
You what?
And it was your ticket?
Well, it was my brother and my dad. Like, I'm going to say it, none of the other siblings had come to any Gargoyle games. We'd served the bloody
time.
No,
that's not. That needs to be split between the attendees of the game. You should have just split it in cash there and then took it to your grave.
But do you know what happened? It was great. It was a great day. Because we were just sat at half time and I wasn't even listening. They read out the number and my brother was just holding the ticket. And I turned to look at him and I've never seen a face more disbelieving. Do you know what I mean? He just couldn't. Because he couldn't.
That's a lot of money back in the day, though.
Yeah, they just read out the number of the ticket he was literally looking at, which must just be incredible. And then my dad went onto the pit. We weren't allowed to go on, so we had to sit in the stands. He went on and had his photo taken with Pilgrim Pete.
Why can't you go on?
So is I don't it better, know,
just
back,
leave the children
maybe
in
it's
the
a gambling
stand.
Thing. Maybe you weren't.
Yeah, but you were. It weren't like you were about to go and put it all on red. You just were collecting the money with the kids. And
then when he walked back, he had a woolly hat on, and the whole of the stand sang he's got a tea cosy on his head, and it was one of my proudest moments.
Oh, amazing.
And then, do you know what, I haven't really thought about this night.
We've really unlocked
and then
this story.
They were like, if you want the cash, come to the office. So we just came to the... We stayed behind afterwards, came to the Argyle office, and they just kind of counted out the cash in 20s.
Oh, that must have felt good.
Yeah, and then we got home, and we didn't tell my mum, and we walked in, and my dad just started counting the money out on the kitchen table in front of her, and she was like, what the hell is going on? It was an incredible night.
Amazing. Oh, wow. I'm glad we unlocked that memory, Josh.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that in fucking years.
We've got a good one here. This is from... Well, I think we want to talk about sweepstakes for when a baby was born.
Yeah.
This is not exactly a sweepstakes. This is from Jerry. But before our two-year-old was born, the Irish government announced 2 extra weeks paid leave for partners for any children born after the 1st of November. Due date was early November. All through October, my wife had to listen to me telling her she wasn't to go early and to hold out.
Did she make it?
Didn't tell us. Thanks, Jerry. I'd say your anecdotal skills need work, Jill.
Yeah.
We need closure on that story, Jerry.
Should we do a load more Instagrams on Friday, Rob?
Yeah, let's do that. Enough. We've got loads to get through.
If you've got any stories about winning things, we're up for them as well.
Winning things as a kid.
It
means so much more then.
Did you go on any of those TV shows and win?
I was on a TV show years ago. My school got pranked on like a CBeebies thing.
Did they?
And basically, I recorded it and it's just of me and all my school. It would be an amazing bit of video to have like of me and all my schoolmates at like 8 or 9 or something.
Yeah.
And they come in and prank us and we're like, what? Where's our teacher gone? And then it's
what was
like,
the prank?
I think it was like... It was a substitute teacher who was being really weird and we were all laughing at him being weird and he was falling over. And then they went, it's actually a joke. Anyway, so we had that. I recorded that. And then at the end of it, it was my best videotape ever. I had the Arsenal-Everton game where Arsenal won the league and Tony Adams scored that volley and then put his arms out. Yeah.
Yeah.
And my brother recorded over it.
Oh, surely they can track that down, that footage.
Who are they? They.
Who
go
are
out.
They? Who are
Who
they?
Are they? But if they are listening, please find that. That was Edgebury Primary School. Edgebury Primary School in Chislehurst.
Someone there.
I was in
it.
Primary school, so it would have been between early 90s, some point, 91 through to 96.
Come on, someone.
Come on, they. But yeah, we'll see you on Friday. Thanks for listening.
Bye.